Our gospel today gives us a very familiar image of preparing and hosting people in our homes, in our lives. That I can recall times in my own life of having done this. I can think of having to host my family and friends, Father Saunders, other priests, for my diaconate ordination in Rome. Of all the preparations I spent preparing for them to come, planning what they would do, planning for where my diaconate reception would be, finding out the week before that the restaurant had double booked, and so I had to go find another restaurant for my diaconate reception, and being caught up in that busyness at times of hosting them, showing them around a foreign city, having to be that translator for them. That I'm also, though, preparing to lay down my life on the altar, to become that deacon, to become that obedient, celibate, prayerful man of God as a deacon. And so the seminary, in its wisdom, says that Wednesday, the before the diaconate, you're not going to spend with your family. You're going to go to the Wednesday audience with the Holy Father. You're going to have a rehearsal. And then that evening, you're going to spend at the seminary in prayer, sitting before our Lord, preparing to be ordained, to lay down your life in service for Christ. And that we can think in today's gospel, Mary is that anxious worker seeking to please the Lord with a good meal and hospitality. Mary sits quietly at his feet and listens. One has become the image of work and the other of prayer. That we can think that perhaps in our lifetime we've heard homilies that have interpreted this gospel as a call for proper balance between work and prayer. That some have gone to state that we all need a little Martha and a little Mary in us. And that the church needs both Marthas and Mary. But in the end, it seems that such a conclusion misses the central point of this passage. That Jesus doesn't conclude by saying, Martha, now go do your thing and let Mary do hers. Rather, he describes Mary as not only choosing the better part, but as doing the one thing necessary, the one thing needed. That this doesn't amount to a call for proper balance, but instead underscores the radical priority and primacy of prayer. This, it would seem, is the proper interpretation of what is being taught here. That there's many other passages of Jesus setting forth the teaching of the need for works of charity. But this passage is not one of them. So with that in mind, let's take a look at the details of the Lord's teaching today on the priority of personal prayer. That it goes and starts out, Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. That this story begins by showing Martha in a very favorable light. She opens her door, her life, if you will, and welcomes Jesus. That this is at the heart of faith, a welcoming of Jesus into the home of our heart and life. That this passage of the Bible from the book of Revelation can come to mind. That behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, eat with him, and he with me. That while we acknowledge this is a promising prelude, we ought to also underscore the fact that the initiative is that of Jesus. The text says that Jesus entered a village. That in the call of faith, the initiative is always with God. That Jesus himself went and said, it is not you who chose me, but I who chose you. That hence, while we must welcome God, God leads. That Martha hears the Lord's call and responds. And so far, so good. But what happens next isn't exactly clear, but the impression is given that Martha goes right to work, that she becomes busy in being that good hostess. There's no evidence that Jesus asked for a meal from her. And then if you think of the text from Revelation quoted already, it does suggest that the Lord seeks to dine with us, but it implies that he will provide the meal. That surely the Eucharistic context of our faith emphasizes that it is the Lord who feeds us with his word, with his body and blood. At any rate, though, Martha seems to have told the Lord to make himself comfortable, to go sit in the easy chair in the room, relax, kick up your feet, and has gone off to work and preparing a meal. And that later she experiences it to be such a burden of being busy is evidence in her idea that emerges from more of being her from her flesh than of the Spirit. But it goes and says, and she had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord listening to him speak. Now here is a beautiful portrait of prayer. Sitting at the Lord's feet, listening. That many people think of prayer as something that is said. But better, prayer is understood as a conversation. The conversations include both speaking and listening. That yes, the vocal prayer, the intercessory prayer, and the like are all noble and important. That's us speaking. But the prayer of listening is too often neglected. The prayer is not just telling God what we want. It is discovering what He wills in our lives. That we have to sit humbly and listen. We must learn to listen, to be okay with the silence in the midst of a noisy world. That we must listen in order to learn. That we listen by slowly and devoutly considering sacred scripture, spending time reading the Bible in Lectio Divina, by pondering how God is speaking in the events and people in our lives, how God is whispering in the conscious, in our conscious and in our soul, just as he was in that whispering wind when he came to visit the prophet Elijah. That as we shall see, Jesus calls this kind of prayer the one thing necessary. That what Mary models and Martha forgets is that we must first come to Jesus and then go and do what he says. That we must first receive before we can achieve. We must first be blessed before we can do our best. That we must first listen before we leap into action. That is what we do in coming to Mass, that we receive the Word of God. We receive Jesus into our very lives in Holy Communion. That he comes, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into our very lives. That we learn about what he has taught us. And then at the end of Mass, we receive that blessing and are sent forth. That we are sent forth to be those disciples of Christ into the world. That is what is necessary. To listen, to enter into his being, to allow him to enter into us. But Martha, burdened with much suffering, comes to our Lord and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. The Martha, who's busy laboring in the flesh, but not likely in the spirit, in accord with the Lord's wishes, is now experiencing the whole thing as a burden. So she goes and blames her sister for all this. But the Lord's response will make it clear that it's not Mary's issue. The one sign that we're not doing God's will is experiencing what we do as a burden. That yes, we're all limited. We're human. We experience ordinary fatigue. But it is one thing to be weary in the work. But it is another to be weary of the work. That a lot of people run off to do something they think is a good idea. And maybe it is, in and of itself, a good thing. But too often, they never ask God about it. That God might have said, fine. But he also might have said, not now, later. Or he might have said, not you, but someone else. Or he might have just said, no. But instead of asking, too often, we just go off and do it. And then when things don't work out, we blame God. Why didn't you help me more? Why didn't you make this possible in my life? And so Martha is burdened by her busyness, because of her busyness. And so she's fallen into the trap that busy means being under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y. And so as falling into that trap, she goes and continues to fall into the trap, following the example of Adam. Where she goes and blames her sister just as Adam blamed Eve for falling into sin, for falling into the trap. And then she presumes that the Lord doesn't care about what is to her an obvious injustice. And so she takes the presumption one step further and presumes to command, to tell the Lord what to do. tell her to help me. That I can boss you, God, around. I'm equal to you. I can boss you around. That's how Satan tempts us. How he tempted her. And this is what happens when we try to serve the Lord in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. That instead of being those true servants who listen to the Lord's wishes and carry them out by His grace, we end up angry and maybe even dictatorial like Martha. That Martha was kind of like with her one hand on her hip and her index in the air wagging away at the Lord. But Jesus is kind to her, but firm. And he goes and says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Now don't let the Lord have to call your name twice. That we can think when our parents have called our names. Or that they go and start out, they just call you by your first name. And then if you've done something really bad, they go and start going through the litany of your entire full name. Or if you have siblings, they go and start going through all the siblings' names until they get to yours. And so don't let that happen. Don't make the Lord have to do that like your parents have done it. That it is clear that the Lord wants Martha's attention. That she has made a fatal mistake. That we all can easily make ourselves. That she leapt before she listened. That the Lord observes her. Comments that she is anxious about many things. That anxiety about many things comes from neglect of the one thing most necessary. Sitting at the feet of the Lord, listening to Him. I can think of my own life as a student, of that whenever I'd get anxious about exams and stuff, I'd start feeling that stress, getting busy, becoming worried. But then I would go and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Knowing that that's what I need in that moment. That I feel that calm, that peace return to me. That the anxiety, the stress would slip away. That's what we need to do when that anxiety comes upon us. The Lord will surely have things for us to do in our lives. But they need to come to Him. This is why prayer is the one thing necessary and the better part. Because our work, our lives flow from it. And are subordinate to it. That prayer is not easy at times, but it is necessary. That an awful lot of noble ideas flounder in the field of the flesh because they were never really brought before God and therefore were not a work of grace. That Jesus doesn't mean that all we have to do is pray. There's many other gospels that you can think of in the recent weeks that summon us to labor in the vineyard. To make that conclusion. But what Jesus is very clear about in today's gospel is that prayer has absolute priority. That otherwise expect to be anxious about many things and have little to show it. The scripture makes it clear that God must be the author and initiator of our works. That for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from you, it is a gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should walk in them. That during this week, let us make sure we take time to pray. Let us take that moment in the morning before we begin our day. Perhaps as we're getting ready for the day, shaving, brushing our teeth, to take that moment to pray with our God. To dedicate that day to Him. Perhaps when we're getting in the car and driving on our commute to work, let us take that time to dedicate our day to Him. To spend that time in prayer, sitting before Him, at His feet listening, opening up the Bible to hear what He has told us, what He continues to tell us. Let us allow Him to say that we have chosen the better part, that we are there listening at His feet, as Mary herself did.